Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
You hear the music? You know what time it is. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We got a loaded show, man. There's a lot to talk about. Big decision, right? Ryan Tannehill to Will Levis. The torch has been passed. The future at quarterback is now. We're going to get into that. We have a game to look at too, right? You got the Titans going down to Tampa to face the Bucs. We're going to take you to Tampa a little bit before the game and bring in ESPN NFL Nation Bucs reporter Jenna Lane. We got Run TMC with Chris Sanders, old fish eye fool. We're going to bring him in, and we got David James right here for the whole show.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right. But as we mentioned, first things first, you have to look at this decision that Mike Vrabel made. I was surprised that he came out on Tuesday and let everyone know what it was. It was a matter of time. Like we knew, like this was a decision that pretty much had to be made, because as Mike Vrabel said, there's a little something different with Levis on the field in the huddle, and a lot of the guys around the team have been able to sense that, and that's why the decision was made. In addition, obviously, to what he's been able to do, I mean, going into Pittsburgh and playing the way he did has been a good sign that, you know, the future is bright. But we need to rewind a little bit, because I keep seeing all this negative talk about Ryan Tannehill. Listen, I'm not here to apologize for anything that he did. I'm not here to magnify anything that he did well. But look, man, the facts are the facts. Titans football from 2019 through a good portion of 2022 was good to each of you. It was good to me covering it. It was good to the people in the building. This team became relevant again. Why? Obviously, Derrick Henry was a big part of that. Obviously, Mike Vrabel was a big part of that. But Ryan Tannehill was as well. That run, I mean, just stop and think back to how excited you all were. Week 7, get a W. Week 8, get a W. End up going 7-3 with Tannehill as the quarterback. Going to Baltimore, beating the Ravens. Before that, beating the Patriots in New England, effectively shutting down the Tom Brady era. Going to Baltimore, beating a 14-2 Ravens team. Nobody thought the Titans were going to win. Nobody. But they went and did it. Yeah, Derrick Henry had an outstanding game, but Ryan Tannehill had some really nice passes. The one to Jonnu Smith, I admit Jonnu did most of the work. He went up and he got it. But what about that play action throw to Khalif Raymond? Man. Then you get into Kansas City, and I ain't going to hold you. Before halftime, before that crazy Patrick Mahomes run, I had a couple windows open on my laptop, and I'm looking at trips to Miami because I thought I was covering a Super Bowl. That's what Ryan Tannehill did for you guys. To sit here and crap on his head after he is no longer the starter, that's not good. You guys are better than that. So I wanted to start with that. But you know what? I'm not going to comment any further on Tannehill's legacy, so to speak. I thought Paul Kaharsky asked him an awesome question on Wednesday about the Bengals game. Check this out.
Do you think that the Cincinnati game has too much prominence when people look at your overall work as the starting quarterback of the Titans?
Last time we played them, we beat them, so I'm not sure. I don't know. That's up to someone else to decide, you know. I feel like I did a lot of good things for this organization and kind of turned things around for a good period of time and won a lot of football games. So, you know, it wasn't perfect. Never is perfect. But hopefully people can look back and see the good that things that I did and how I, you know, helped this city, helped this organization, and helped turn things around.
Great words there from Ryan Tannehill. An awesome question by Paul Kaharsky. And I like his answer because normally you ask an athlete about just general public opinion. They'll say, man, all I care about is what's inside these walls. He was very honest in this case. So definitely shout out to Tannehill for that. And I think, you know, you look at Will Levis, right? He got the job. Tannehill had been the starter. I mean, we're talking about since week six of the 2019 season. Week six is an eerie time. I mean, here it is, week six of this season was in effect the end of the Tannehill era. I just think what he has been able to do to help Levis already is really significant, right? Levis said that there was a rep on Tuesday, you know, because this is a tough, like, Levis came into this situation, Tannehill was the man, you know, so it's tough for both of these guys. And he said that he was a little hesitant to step up with the first team, but Tannehill told him, like, hey, man, get in there. It's you. This is you. That's admirable. You know what I mean? To be encouraging to the guy who took your job and, in fact, ended your time in Nashville. Because we know after this year, Tannehill's not going to be back. That's something to look at, you know, and I want to get a little more from Tannehill just in regards to how he's handling this situation. Check this out.
Oh, it hits hard. I mean, never been in this situation before, so, you know, it hits hard. Never a situation that anyone wants to be in, but it's a situation I'm in, so got to walk through it.
So he said that in addition to that, you know, you got to work through the emotions. He's worked through the emotions over the last couple of days, and then he's already, like I said, in practice helping Levis. It's going to be just crazy just watching everything just kind of progress through Levis becoming the guy, and you know, he's the quarterback of the future and present. I think when you look at Levis, though, right, he's already captured this team, you know, and these are guys who said that they already knew, like, he was that dude, right? You look at Arden Key, you look at Jeffrey Simmons, they're back and forth. In fact, here's Jeffrey Simmons on Levis once he learned the news. Interesting insight from him here.
We got the news, and at the end of the day, that's a decision they made, and, you know, there's nothing more, nothing less to be said about it. You know, we'll our quarterback going forward. We heard that from our head coach, and that's the message. We just got to, like I said, I got to do my job, and that's play defensive line. I can't, you know, go off why this, why that. You know, our job is to focus on our job, and my job is to play defensive line.
And then you're always vocal. You always talk to the quarterbacks, you know, whether it's Malik, Ryan, Levis. Well, what did you say to Levis, you know, after learning that he got the job?
I really haven't said much to him, especially the last couple of days. I mean, he know what it take. I'm sure that, you know, they doing a lot of talking to him early in the week. You know, I try to not to, you know, mess with him, especially until game day. You know, I told him, just like I tell Tannehill, just like I've been telling Will when he was out there, Tannehill hasn't been out there to lead the offense. And that's still going to be the same message. Just keep leading and, you know, lead the offense. I mean, nothing more to be said. You know, just be in control.
So that's it right there. There's nothing more to be said. Just be in control. And I think, you know, one of the things with Levis being in control that I really like is how he's able to self-analyze. And we're going to get into a couple areas where he does need to do that. But if you remember, he coming out was known as a bit of a perfectionist, right? And now you have this guy in the starting job, and he said that he's his own worst critic. Check out how he said he's working through all of that.
Just noticing what went wrong, the mistakes that I made, and trying to eliminate them from happening again. Understanding that it's okay to, you know, get frustrated, but it's important right in that second afterwards to get yourself back to neutral and move on. And then after the fact, when it's appropriate, to go and watch the film to learn as much as you can from it. But you know, even with good plays, like you don't want to just focus on the outcome. You want to see what could have put yourself in a better position to even make it a better play. So we're all improving every day here, trying to see how we can get our offense, our team better. But we're also looking, you know, introspectively with how we can do better ourselves.
How do you feel Mike Vrabel has been with you just as far as like the relationship, the bringing you along, that whole process?
He's been great. I mean, he demands a lot, you know, demands a lot from all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a vet, the standard is the standard, and we're going to go and work our tails off for him because of the way he approaches his preparation, and, you know, he demands a lot from us. So he's as hard critic as anybody, but I mean, I feel like him and I have developed a great relationship, and I feel comfortable, you know, with him.
So there you have it right there, because a lot of people are curious because of the way Vrabel has answered questions about Will Levis. A lot of people are curious, like, hey, why is it that he's never complimentary? But you have it right there. You know, he actually has developed a really good relationship with Mike Vrabel. So, you know, you get it right from the horse's mouth. So I think, you know, that's something that we have to look at. And sometimes you just have a guy who he just has to be coached a certain way. And I think that's a part of the management, the personnel management that Mike Vrabel is charged with doing. But another thing that I really like is how Levis has found ways to try to improve. In training camp, he was really big on getting his touch and anticipation together on throws. It's gotten better. Here's why.
His reps, I think just even all the individual stuff, all the stuff I'm doing before practice and in between team periods, coaches putting us in a good position to make the throws that are going to be necessary in the games, and tweaking and adjusting and feeling out the different types of throws that could be required for different plays. But it's just been, I think, product of preparation and just working at it.
So there it is right there. You saw the touch get better. I mean, you look at the touch he had on the throw to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in the Falcons game. Then you look at the touch he had on the throw to Westbrook-Ikhine again in that deep outbreaking route, you know, from the opposite, you know, hash to push the ball out there like that. Or you could look at the one that he had to Kyle Phillips where you got to get it just past that linebacker, but before the safety, you have to have the right amount of velocity on it so Phillips doesn't get killed, but you also got to get it by that linebacker. So that's a tough thing to do, and that's the kind of touch throws that he's been working on. I think it's going to be cool watching him continue. But I tell you another area of focus, and you look at that 4th and 4. I get it. You had the alert. You take the deep shot to Treylon Burks. There's no, you know, the safety wasn't shading over top. So you have that situation where you're looking at that, and that's what you're reading. But you got to remember, you got 3-by-1, right? That's the backside. Treylon Burks is isolated backside, but you have Kyle Phillips, Chig Okonkwo, and DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins, the guy who is clearly your favorite guy to throw the football to. Hopkins ran a slant as number 3, the furthest inside. The safety drove down on it. He also took Joey Porter Jr. with him. So that created a bit of a void. But then at number 2, on the line, you had Chig Okonkwo running an outbreaking route to take that safety on the play side out of it. Number 1 on that side, Kyle Phillips, 2 steps up the field, break hard on the slant. It was vacated. You got to know your situation. And that's something that Levis said he's going to bank for the future.
Based on a look or what we're trying to get out of the play, you can kind of be locked into a certain route or a certain guy, and going back and watching the tape and seeing a guy pop open somewhere that, where you weren't really thinking about going to the ball. It doesn't make you think like, dang, like I should have done this. It really just kind of affects the thought process for maybe the next week, or if we do run a similar concept, where my eyes might want to start at that time. So, and also developing trust with guys who we do see continuously win over and over and over again. So I'm just, you know, trusting my coaching and trusting what I see with my eyes, but definitely missing things here or there, trying to eliminate that.
Notice what he said, though, okay? He didn't say it's something that he's going to be like, dang, I messed up about. He said he's going to bank it, right? And it could change the way he looks at that same play the next time out. That's a positive thing. You want to And I asked Mike Vrabel about the patience that it takes. And he said, you can have patience when a guy's not making the same mistake twice. I expect Will Levis against the Bucks, if they get that same look, I expect him to take that shot to Kyle Phillips. There was another play with Kyle Phillips. He took a they were in the red zone, I believe. Yeah, they were in the red zone. And this time it was twins on that side, right, on his left. DeAndre Hopkins was number one. Phillips was in the slot. And Phillips, I believe, it was a blitz, if I'm not mistaken. And Levis got the ball. He took a shot to Hopkins on the outside. And again, I get it. That's Hopkins is that dude. You want to shoot the ball to him when you have opportunities. But let's be honest. Joey Porter Jr. did a really good job against him. Now, obviously, he had some double team help. On this rep, he didn't. It was just good coverage. So when Levis got the ball, he looked and he threw it. But the next level play is, okay, I see this blitzer's coming. Guess what happens when he blitzes? There's a spot vacated. Kyle Phillips ran a quick slant. A nice throw on the money. Phillips catches it. Probably gets into the end zone. If he doesn't, he's at the 5 or 3 yard line. These are the things that Levis has to do to get to that next level. And I think the fact that he's acknowledging that and saying that it's going to impact how he's going to do his look at things that the next time he's in that same situation is a positive. So, look, man, the future is bright, right? Will Levis, he came to the game with shades on, to the Steelers game with shades on. You know why? Because the future's so bright, he got to wear shades. We'll be right back. We're going to go to a break, come back, and run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, TMC. For you. Fresh.
Hit it, Greg. Bring him in. Yeah. All right, here we go.
They ain't ready, cuz.
The music fades. The lights dim. Coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Starting at power forward from the University of Virginia, Odin Polynice.
And now, starring in the color purple, Danny Glover. You know how I'm going to be. You should let him ride your caboose.
Shook.
Classic, man. See, we can't start
the show.
He was
always chasing
like
after Shook, man. Yo, every time I think of Shook, I think of that song. Remember she was she was like this. She said,
man,
she said, sister, I know your name. I'm done. Okay. Cancel the segment.
We can't start the show like that.
No,
hey, well, hit me one more time. Hit me one more time.
No. I'm done. I ain't going to sing no more. We got some football to talk about.
You crushed me with that one, Don. Oh, my goodness.
Big decision on Tuesday, yes, man. Big decision, right? Yep. Will Levis is now the starting quarterback. Mike Vrabel let Ryan Tannehill know on Monday, and then he let the team know on Tuesday. The locker room. How do you think that's – well, just initial thoughts from you. Like, what's your feedback on that decision?
You know, first of all, I want to start off by giving Tannehill props. And I'm going to talk a little bit about him, and then I'm going to go into what I'm going to talk about. I mean, just I want to take people down back memory lane. 2019, 2-4. Situation looked bad. Tannehill comes in, saves the season. Great. Then now you have him going over his whole career. He threw over 13,000 yards, 91 TDs, 39 interceptions, 39-24 as a Titan, and in 2019, 22 TDs and 6 INTs. I know that's a lot of information, but the reason why I share those stats and share what he did, he's even though he's a second string, this guy's not no slouch now. So, you know, I know everybody's kind of excited that Will Levis is starting, which he should be starting. I mean, because he's played well in the last two games. But the good thing about it is you have two quarterbacks that can play this game.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And I think, you know, I'm seeing on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, right, mm-hmm. a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, they're trashing Tannehill. Now's not the time to do that because he brought fans a lot of really good football. Let's remember. Yeah. This team made an AFC championship appearance. Yeah. It's bigger than just the Bengals game. You know, right. His legacy is bigger than that divisional game. So definitely want to agree with you and give him his props. Now, the way he's handled this, right? He already sits in practice on Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. Levis was a little hesitant to step forward with the first team. He said Tannehill went up to him and said, hey, get in there. This is you.
Wow.
When you hear a leader like that, you know, what do you think? And you experienced, right? The Chris Chandler and Steve McNair years. How much different is that?
You know, it just shows you the character of Tannehill. He understands the situation. He understands that it's a business. And I watched his interview. I watched him. I watched his body language. He's visibly upset. You know what I'm saying? He's upset. He's not upset at the decision that they made. He's upset because he's a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to win. He loves to play. He said this. He says, I've never been in this position before, and he's trying to learn how to handle it. But this is how he handled it. This is why I love this guy. Instead of him being on the sidelines pouting and making it about himself, what did he do? Just like what you said. Hey, man, get in there. Get in there. That just shows you that, you know, even though he may be the second string, he's still one play away from being in the starting lineup. Do you understand that? So I really take my hat off to this guy because instead of him saying, woe is me, and, you know, they're mad at me, the organization has no, you know, all this stuff, he said, you know what, I'm going to prepare like I'm a professional because that's exactly what he is, TD.
What do you think this team gets from Will Levis being the starter?
Mike Vrabel said this quote. He said this. He said, you can clearly see that there's something there.
Yeah.
What do you see? Attitude. Not a bad attitude, a confidence. Not a cockiness, a sure of, hey, I don't care what y'all blitz, I don't care what y'all do, I'm going to come in there and make plays. You gave me a great illustration the other day. You said when he walked out of the locker room, it was a different feeling and a different aura. So basically what he's saying is, man, this guy expects to win. He brings an energy. It brings a tenacity. He gets hit in the mustache, and he comes back and laughs at the guy after throwing a touchdown. So he brings that kind of tenacity that you love with a young kid like that.
Now, as a receiver, right, you look at Will Levis, and we talked last week about, you know, his tendency to throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
You definitely have to like that. But I asked him on Wednesday about making sure that you see what's underneath too, because there's opportunities to get the ball on a more higher percentage throw. So I want to ask you this. The fourth and four, he took the shot to Treylon Burks. Kyle Phillips was open underneath. He had the 3-by-1 trips on the right, and Phillips was number one on that side, and he ran the slant. It was a clear out by Okonkwo. He was number two. Hopkins was number three, and he ran the slant also. And everything went with Hopkins. Phillips was wide open.
Yeah.
How do you go to your quarterback after something like that and say, hey, you know, we probably could have got that first down?
I think Chris London, especially when he comes to the sideline, Chris London's gonna pull up the film because they're on those iPads and say, okay, young fella, I know you want to make the big play. I know you want to throw the touchdown, but take what the defense gives you. And that's kind of what Mike Vrabel was talking about in his interviews, that, you know, even though he has a great arm, even though he's a good specimen out there and he can make the long throw, he still needs development. So if he still needs development, those are kind of things that we're talking about. Yeah, you want to throw the long ball. Yeah, you want to throw the post. Yeah, you want to, you know, do the play action. But at the end of the day, you got to know what the situation is in the game. It's fourth and four. All you need is the first down. You don't need to take a shot on a low percentage pass to where, you know, Collins is open underneath. So those are the little things that he's going to get better in. Chris London and Tyler Harris are going to really coach him on those things because they know how to develop quarterbacks. But once he develops that other element of that game, I think you're going to see a special, special quarterback.
Yeah, I do too. And he did say that that's something that he's going to bank. And the next time he goes out there, he'll look at it differently possibly. When you have a guy like Levis, and we talked about the moxie he brings, the attitude, but on the field, what is it that he does different from Tannehill?
You know, first of all, I want to talk about how tough this kid is. I mean, just imagine when somebody's blitzing through the A-gap and you know you're going to get hit, you step up and you can make the throw. If I see my quarterback do that, then I'm going to do everything that I can in my power to make sure I get open. You know, and one thing I love about this guy is, and I know it's just two games, I'm not trying to blow him up, but I love how he takes command of the offense. Mm-hmm. You know, he's making checks, he's setting the strength of where the pressure are coming from. It's kind of like he's been there for like 10 to 12 years. So when you have a guy that has that type of confidence that, you know, commands the offense and the defense and the offense and the special teams, you know, you're gaining the respect from them. It just shows you that this guy can do some great things.
Absolutely. So this week they're going to face this Bucs team.
Oh,
they're an attacking front. You know,
yes, they are.
How do you think he'll do, and what can you draw from a good performance in addition to a bad performance?
You know, I think the one thing he's going to have to do is just take what the defense gives you. I mean, don't do anything out of your element. I know you're going to take some hits. I know you're going to take some shots. But at the end of the day, just like that play you just discussed, just take what the defense gives you. Because if you look at this front, you know, you got some dudes. You got Villa, you got Cansey, you got some guys that can make plays. I mean, overall, they have 21 sacks. So that just shows you that they're going to get after the quarterback. So what he has to do is just say, okay, you know what? If it's third and five or third and six, don't worry about throwing the home run, which is great. Now, if it's there, yeah, make the play. But if you got Kyle Phillips sitting at 7 yards, throw the ball to him, make the play, and keep the chains moving. That's where he needs to get to.
Absolutely. And we'll move on to the other side of the football. Obviously, Levis is a big discussion point. But, I there's some good receivers in this. You got Chris Godwin. You got Mike Evans. What do you like about that tandem?
Man, first of all, Mike Evans is a big dude. And that dude's been around a lot. We always tend to think that, you know, big receivers can't run routes. This dude's a technician now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude can run some routes. He's been around for a long time. And I love the way he catches the ball at the highest point. I mean, he's just a dog when it comes to that. And you got Goodwin, you know, that's been banged up last year a little bit. And now he's kind of back to where his form was before. He has 498 yards. You know, Evans has 594, five touchdowns. So these two guys can make plays. So the secondary is going to have to make sure that, they communicate and not give up the explosive plays.
Absolutely. And with Sean Murphy Bunting likely being down, how much does that become an issue for this Titans defense?
Yeah, I mean, it does, because you got to remember too that they don't have a shabby running game. I mean, Rashad White's not bad. I mean, he's averaging 3.4 yards. I know that's not a lot, but he's still capable of making a big play. So, you know, that secondary is going to have to make sure that if the receivers catch the ball in space, they got to make sure to make tackles. And I think that's what you do, because if you put these guys, I don't want to do this. Don't go cover one and go man to man with these guys outside, because they're going to get killed. I mean, and I'm not saying that in a respectful way, but you don't want to go one on one with Godwin, who's he's like a world, you know, class athlete or sprinter. Then you got Mike Evans, that's got a big body, understands how to run routes, and you got a secondary consistently give up explosive plays. I think Shane Bowen's got to make sure he's smart and not put these guys in bad positions.
Jeffrey Simmons, Arden Key, DeNico Autry, we could go on, Harold Landry.
Right.
Are they getting enough from them?
I think they're getting enough from them at home. I mean, at home they are, but on the road it's like they look, no disrespect, they just look confused. It's like there's no pass rush, you know, there's no sense of urgency. But when they're at home, I mean, they're all over the quarterback. Look what they did against Ridder. I mean, you had four or five guys in his mugshot. But then when you go down and you play another game out of town, then all of a sudden it's like there's no pass rush, there's no pressure, there's no making the quarterback get off his spot. It's just like he has all to make plays, and then you understand, is it jet lag, or are you tired, or just a sense of urgency? You just know, because they're not the same team when they're here as opposed to when they're out of town.
Is there something to that? Like, did you experience a difference playing on the road than home?
I think it's this is me. I think it's a mentality thing. I think on offense, it'd be kind of hard because you have the crowd going crazy. But on defense, I mean, you don't need that because you wait until the ball is hiked. So it shouldn't be any difference. I just think they just got to understand that they got to have a sense of urgency. They can't come out and play catch up later on down again. They got to play four quarters, and I think that that's the problem.
Kyle Phillips, you look at him, right? He had a pretty good game.
He did.
We pointed to him getting open in that one play. How would you approach his usage or even just like him being a primary target?
I would use him a lot on third downs. I mean, I think that that's where he specializes, especially when he's in the slot. He can run those choice routes and those quick routes and those little bang routes that they run with a little quick outs that they do. So, you know, when it's third and five, have you noticed that Will Levis know what the heck is going on? He's looking to him quite a bit on third down because he understands that when he's in the slot and he's going against those backers and those safeties, you know, he can run those little choice routes or crossers to get, you know, to get to the chains and make the first down. So, you know, I would use him in that aspect. I wouldn't put him a lot on the perimeter because in the perimeter, I don't think he's fast enough to make maybe take the top off the defense or actually take those physical hits. So I would handle that in that situation.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. The game itself, you have the Titans winning? Did they finally break through and win a road game?
I think they do. I mean, they're going to go against a team that I think they lost three in a row, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they lost three in a row. So they're going to be hungry to try to get a win. But here's what I want them to see, TD. I want them to start fast.
Mm-hmm.
Start fast. If it's on defense, get a three and out. Offense, take the ball and have a long drive and get that confidence early. Because if Baker Mayfield has 1,865 yards, 12 TDs, and four interceptions. When that guy plays with confidence, he's hard to stop. Take away his confidence early and score on offense, and let's go eat and win this game.
There you have it right there. Chris Sanders.
Hey, before I go, man, I was watching TV, man, and it was about like 12 o'clock at night, right? So I heard this song come on. It's like, The Love Boat. So I'm like, okay, this is my show about to come on. So me and my daughter's watching it. So this guy with this mustache comes on. It was like... My daughter was like, hey, is that TD? I said, no, baby, that's Isaac.
I would just let it ride. We'll end it on that.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You know what time it is, what we do each and every week. We reach into that ESPN NFL Nation Rolodex and, man, I got back-to-back weeks of my favorites right here. We're going to bring in Jenna Lane, ESPN NFL Nation Buccaneers reporter. That is who the Titans are playing. Jenna, what's good with you?
Oh, I appreciate that designation. You know you're one of my favorites, too.
That's right. You know, we go way back. I mean, we're talking about almost, 8 years now, man. Covering the draft together and... It's crazy.
Pre-ESPN?
Yeah, now.
Pre-ESPN in the trenches.
Exactly. How about it? Well, here we are. So, obviously, we have to get into this game. You look at this Bucs team, I mean, wow. 36-33 was what the score looked like, but they ended up losing the game. C.J. Stroud brought them back. How has that team, you've been in the locker room, how have they bounced back from that loss? I mean, they thought they had it in the bag, right? Baker Mayfield to Cade Otton, and the score looked like that was going to be it, and then it just didn't happen.
Gosh, what an incredible day for C.J. Stroud, and all the credit goes to him for what he was able to do. But you're right, it was, as Zion McCollum told me, just full 360 of emotions there, going from that was such a special moment for this team because they hadn't had a come-from-behind win moment in the final 2 minutes of a game all season. It was also their first time on offense that they had scored 30 points this year. They had struggled so much offensively this year, and they had relied so heavily on their defense. Their defense, which was top 10 in just about every statistical category, had really been the reason why they started the season off 3-1 and headed into their bye week, a very early week 5 bye, with a very convincing victory on the road at the New Orleans Saints. That was so huge for them. That Saints team has just been a thorn in their side for years and years. And then they come out of the bye week and they have not won a game since. They've dropped 4 straight. It's just been so difficult for them. And so, you know, it's one thing when you're just coming off of one loss, but when there's multiple and they just keep accumulating, and it's Detroit, it's Atlanta, it's Buffalo, like, and then you lose to the Texans. And now that was a Texans team that I think has surprised a lot of people, and they looked well coached and they could surprise some people this year. However, this is a team that had high expectations and they wanted to compete for the division, and they were in the lead of the division. And now they are not. They're behind 2 teams in the division. So it's quite interesting right now. But, you know, I haven't gotten the sense that they've lost faith in the coaching staff or anything like that. I know guys have said that they feel like they need to kind of restore faith in each other, though. I thought that was pretty interesting. Mm. That was something that Safety D. Delaney had told me. But they're trying new things, and I give them credit for that. For instance, Ryan Neal, he is a safety that they picked up from the Seattle Seahawks. They've determined that he's just better suited to be playing in the box opposite Antoine Winfield Jr., who's had just an unbelievable season this year. 3 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries. I mean, that guy is active. He's very involved. You know, he's had a great season, but just, you know, Neal just hasn't been there. And so he got benched after he was originally coming in on 3rd down. That was something they tried new this past week. I'm sorry, he was leaving on 3rd down. They were bringing in Delaney. Then when he surrendered an early touchdown, that was when they had Delaney start coming in. And you know, Stroud was throwing a lot on 1st down, so it made sense to just kind of keep him in there just on every down situation. So they're trying some new things there. I know the talk a lot this week, too, has been, you know, Todd Bowles has really not been blitzing with this defense. And yeah, if you remember, he had that infamous cover 0 call that he made against the Rams in the, you know, the 2021 playoffs. And granted, that's kind of it's haunted Bowles a lot, but he has made a living off of being really aggressive as a play caller. But we didn't see any blitzing there. I understand maybe not blitzing on the final drive, but there was hardly any blitzing, if any at all, on the second half, just consistently bringing 4 guys. And, you know, these are cornerbacks, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis. And I know you pay special attention to that position. They've made a living off of being physical and playing this press man coverage, you know, and they're taller guys, they're longer guys. But they've been playing more of a softer zone coverage. And for those of us that are around the team all the time and covering them all the time, that's been baffling, because it just seems like they're not able to do, they're not doing what they do best.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. And I think, you said something that was really interesting to me when you said that they have to try to refine confidence in each other. One guy that doesn't lack confidence is Baker Mayfield. How has he just kind of come in and it's hard to replace a legend like Tom Brady, but how has he come in and just integrated himself into the offense?
You know, they needed a strong personality, I think, because they had Tom Brady, and he is such a strong presence, right? Everything on the offense revolved around him, and everything the guys did was about Tom and maximizing his comfort level and doing things according to his liking, and he earned that right. But with that, you needed someone to kind of step in and fill the void. And for day one, Baker said, I'm not going to be Tom Brady. I can't be. Mm-hmm. But I think that he's really impressed me as a leader. You know, Mike Evans told me his ability to wipe the slate clean and forget a bad play, he thought was his greatest attribute. And for Mike, I thought that was really important, because, you know, Mike has had games where one drop has led to kind of a snowball effect. Yeah. And so for him, I think when he has a leader that's like that, that is just really, really positive, and is like, hey, man, let's forget about it. Let's move on. You know, the team tends to adopt that, you know, that same attitude. And it's certainly, they've had some rough moments, right? Like, they're still paying Tom Brady $35 million. He's on their books this year for $35 million. So it's not like they could go out and really make upgrades. And they had to make a lot of painful decisions, like parting ways with a Sean Murphy bunting, for instance. You know, they've had to part ways with guys like Leonard Fournette and Donovan Smith, who are now on other teams. But, you know, I think Baker has the right mentality. He's the right fit for Dave Canales, the new offensive coordinator, his offense. But I think personality-wise, he really works well with these guys. And you don't really have a lot of other strong personalities, per se, on the offense in that sort of way. Like, I think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Kate Otten, are guys that are generally really easy to get along with. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're the types of guys that are going to be clashing with their quarterback or with their offensive coordinator. So I do think that helps. But, you know, I think Baker, you know, one thing that really got me was talking to him after the Texans game. And I had asked him, hey, you're not a guy lacking for confidence, but you've had bad games in your career. What do you say to your teammates that are maybe struggling and having issues with confidence? Because I think you're human, and it's like Carlton Davis was talking about today. You make a mistake and it's for millions to see. And the words that, and I said, you know, so Baker, what would you say to some of your teammates that may be struggling with confidence issues? And he goes, you're there for a reason. And I just thought that, you know, it sounds very simple, but I think it's an important reminder of, you know, something that I think can kind of get away from these guys when they do give up a touchdown or have a bad play or have a drop, or they start losing four games. You really start doubting yourself. So I think he's just very, very, very positive. And then from a media standpoint, you know, I and from a fan standpoint too, he's someone that when you ask him what happens on a play, like on an interception, he doesn't get defensive about it. He just tells you everything that he saw. Take us through that play. He will tell me everything that happened on his progressions. And I appreciate that so much from a reporting standpoint. And also I hope fans can appreciate, because a lot of times quarterbacks will just kind of give you canned answers, or players will give you canned answers. But when you, and it's not their job to necessarily educate us. However, when we're educated and the fans are educated, we can start thinking like them better. And, you know, I think in turn, you know, I think everything just is so much better when we all are educated. We become smarter fans of the game. I think the game is more enjoyable. You start to really figure out the nuances of the game. But it's just a rare treat when you can really get a glimpse inside a quarterback's mind, their thinking process, when they give you those moments and kind of take you through that. They give you thoughtful responses. You know, it makes my job, even covering a team with four consecutive losses, it makes it really enjoyable. I think he's been a joy to cover.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's been a joy to watch. Just like, I love when guys, you know, wear their emotions on the sleeve like that. So it's been pretty cool. You look at this rushing attack, right? Keyshawn Vaughn, he's a local product. Pearl Cone High School, went to Vanderbilt. He's in the mix. It's more Rashad White and Chase Edmonds. But, you know, what has gone, why haven't they been able to run the ball?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And it'd be so much easier if it was just one guy or one thing. But you watch each individual play, and it's like, man, that was not a good block by Kate Otten. You know, they're trying to be this, they were trying to be this outside, you know, zone team, this wide zone team. But if you're not having the blocking from the tight ends, I mean, that's just not going to work. And then sometimes it's guys just not identifying the hole, or the hole closing too quickly, guys not run blocking well. I mean, this, it's interesting to me, and I don't know how many instances you see this, but they're a pretty good pass blocking team statistically, although I think that number also has to do with, like what you said with Baker. He's a guy that, you know, he does such an unbelievable job of like ducking out of sacks and using his athleticism, his mobility to get out of that stuff. You know, the quick game as well. So I think maybe that number makes, statistically, maybe they're a little better on paper in the passing game, but they're, you know, and they've given up very few sacks. However, it's like on the flip side of that, they just cannot, they're run blocking. I mean, they're one of the worst in the league at run blocking. They have made some changes there. I mean, Matt Filer's been injured, and so they've inserted Aaron Stinney, who Aaron Stinney actually stepped in for Alex Kappa during the Bucs Super Bowl run. You know, that former was the Titan. Strength of their team, their offensive line. Yeah. And so then, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was a former Titan. And so he steps in for Alex Kappa, who, you know, it's horrible timing, broke his leg during the Bucs wild card game at Washington the year they won the Super Bowl. So Stinney went on to, you know, play three off playoff games, start them, including the Super Bowl. You know, unfortunately, he had a bad knee injury last year. So it's been good to see him out there. But yeah, he stepped into that role. They also are really featuring Rashad White a lot more as a receiver, which has been a lot of fun to watch because he had like a 33-yard catch and run this past week, which was like, wow, you know, and then he was able to get a 15-yard run, which, you know, I think anytime you can get your receiver involved in the passing game, and he hasn't had a drop. And there have been instances where, you know, he is their leading target in games. And it's also been really helpful when teams will roll coverage Mike Evans's way, which is expected, Chris Godwin's way. That's when you really need your running back and your tight end to step up. And that was, if I can give you one positive that came out of that loss, aside from just the fact that they put up 30 points for the first time this season this past week, it was the fact that White and Otten both had two touchdowns each. And both of them really kind of, I think, stepped up and kind of carried the load while Mike and Chris were getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, and we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Bucs reporter Jenna Lane. Last thing, Jenna, this defense, these guys up front, you know, Vita Vey, Joe Tryon, one of the guys I really like, Shaq Barrett. How are they as far as getting to the quarterback? How has this year been for them? You mentioned, you know, you're not seeing as much blitzing lately, but how has that front been able to operate? And Kalijah Kancey, too, whose teammate in college was Rashad Weaver at Pittsburgh, who is one of the outside backers here.
Yeah, it's been fun watching Kalijah. Unfortunately, his NFL career got off to a tough start because he suffered a calf strain that kept him out of all the preseason. He suffered it during training camp. And then in week one, he goes out there against the Vikings and re-injures it, so we had to wait even longer. But, you know, he's making his presence known. I think he's a good complement to Vita Vea because Vea is so big. I know that he weighed in at 347 pounds, but that's not what he plays at right now. But he's just this you know, colossal human, whereas Kancey is so quick getting off the ball, and he's so athletic. And they like that mix there. But, you know, those guys haven't had a lot of time together. And I look at, and I was talking to Todd Bowles actually about it today, because they had three sacks against Stroud this past week, but they weren't affecting the quarterback enough. And that's where I think sometimes, like, the stats, we get too caught up in those versus, okay, like sack numbers are great, but if you're not disrupting the quarterback, what does it matter? You know, Joe Tryon Choyinka, you know, he's in really what's been a pivotal year for him. Bowles has said he's got to step up. He's got to get more of those takedowns. He's got to finish plays. You know, Shaq Barrett can't do it all. And Shaq's had a good season. He's got three sacks on the year. You know, they've also got Yaya Diaby, although he's still kind of developing as a pass rusher. He's got about one move. It's a bull rush move. So he's still kind of learning, but he's got a lot of strength. I mean, I feel like every time I see him, he grows even more physically imposing. And I think that he could be a quick study. I think we can, you know, the more we see his moves develop and his counter moves, you know, he could be an exciting player to watch, but they're just not getting it done enough up front. And it's really kind of put a strain on things on the back end. And of course those things do work in tandem. So it's been kind of a frustrating thing to watch the last few weeks, just not being able to affect the quarterback the way that they need to.
Yeah, without a doubt. Those are great points that you make. One more thing. I actually got lied. So this is the last thing. Sean Murphy Bunting, he probably won't be available to play, but I know you and him had a great relationship when he was down there. I mentioned your name, and a big old smile popped up on his face.
Oh,
what do you think of right away when I mentioned Sean Murphy Bunting?
Oh gosh, it's hard to pick just one thing, but you know, I mentioned to you talking about Baker and the thoughtful responses he would give me. Sean was the same way, like, yeah. just gave a lot of thought that really, I think, helped me grow. And I think I would hope help fans grow, gives you more insight into the game, because I could never do what they do. That's why I do what I do now. And so I think that's always kind of an important reminder, but really, really smart guy. Very approachable. I'm sure fans, if they've had a chance to meet him, they can certainly see that. Big heart for others. You know, him and his mother, Kim, were very active in the Tampa Bay community and helping kids. They did a lot of charity work. But his versatility always really jumped out to me, whether it was playing inside. You know, they had him doing something that the only other guy that's done it here in Tampa really was Rondé Barber, where he would line up on the outside. And then in nickel passing situations, he'd go inside because that's where they wanted their playmaker. And so throughout he would do that in games. Then it got to a point where they wanted to just focus on nickel. He at times was a backup. He was a starter. I felt like whatever role he kind of had, he just always handled it really well, was always a really smart player, made a number of really memorable plays. I think probably my favorite play that he had was this interception that he had against the Lions at Detroit. That was really special because, of course, he's from Michigan. Yeah. So that was really and it looked a lot like actually Rondé Barber's pick six that he had against the Eagles. I think a lot of fans, it drew a lot of comparisons to that, but just a really, really smart player. And I also will say this, I remember his rookie season. He was really in training camp. He was the guy that established himself as one to watch. But then when the regular season or when preseason came around, Bruce Arians called him out and he's like, man, where were you? You disappeared. And that's tough. You know, Bruce would call guys out. Todd Bowles doesn't do that, but Bruce would call guys out. And that's tough enough. But when you're also playing that position, a position that, you know, talking to Sean's former teammate, Carlton Davis, today, talking about how brutal it is. A lot of guys think it's the most brutal in the NFL, especially making that transition. I put that right up there with cornerback. You know, that's really tough. And that can kind of wound you and wound your pride. But it wasn't like that for him. And I remember even telling him the story. Hey, man, you know, Rondé Barber, he got benched by Herm Edwards his rookie season, and Herm wouldn't let him play. He's like, no, until you're ready to play and you're prepared, I'm not putting you out there. He didn't think he was in shape. He didn't think he had the right attitude, which is so hard to believe with Rondé. But I remember telling Sean that, and he just had this attitude, like, I'm not going to let that break me. And he had a great time in Tampa. I know that there were some folks on this staff that were sad to see him go. I know I personally was sad to see him go, and I messaged you right away and was like, hey, man, you got a good one. And whatever his role, I knew whatever his role was going to be, he was going to give it his all, whether it was as a starter or as a depth player. I knew that he was going to give it everything he had.
No doubt about it. How about that? That's some great insight there. Jenna, I appreciate you coming on. I'll hit you up when I touch base on touch ground on Saturday. So, looking forward to catching up.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, and keep up the great work. I always enjoy following your stuff from afar.
Thanks, and you do the same. I enjoy your stuff too. I see you this weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So there you have it, right there. The one, the only Jenna Lane. It's always fun talking shop with her, man. She is very much in tune with the Bucks, as you see, and it's going to be good checking her out, catching up with Jenna this weekend. But definitely been a great time, man. Run TMC with Chris Sanders. Yo, I'm still cracking up about that Color Purple, that song by Suge, man. That's funny stuff, man. David James, you've been making this happen and trying not to laugh too hard.
Bro, I'm just over here just cracking up, man. And I just have to get away from the mic every time y'all say something funny, bro. It is
a trip. And I hope each of you have enjoyed, you know, all the work that we've been able to do. I mean, the season is not over. It's going to keep going. You got the launch of a new era. So definitely make sure you keep rocking with us. Search Talking with TD on Google, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your great listening materials. We appreciate you. Definitely subscribe, rate, review. We're out of here.